2 Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. Jamie Dodd, Thomas Drance, we're live from the Kintec studio. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Metro Vancouver's trusted choice for contractors and reno warriors for over 50 years. Visit them at one of their three locations to serve you or online at DunbarLumber.com. Sportsnet 650 and Barnside Brewing have dropped the gloves on a new pale ale that's perfect for hockey season. The brand new 5 for Fighting Hazy Pale, the crisp and refreshing Hazy Pale Ale, is a celebration of flavor and balance brewed with our own farm-grown hops. It boasts a delightful harmony of fruity and floral notes. Each sip hints at the juicy essence of ripe peach, complemented by a soft, velvety mouthfeel that keeps you coming back for more. Four packs will be available starting December 9th at Barnside Brewing Tap Room, participating retail locations, or on tap at your local pub. I like about that copy a lot of things about it, but specifically where it says brewed with our own farm grown hops, as if Sportsnet 650 has like our own patch of farm grown hops somewhere that we've been cultivating.
Cascadia hops.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're a multidisciplinary outfit here. We do a little hop growing, do some sports radio, you know, we're very, all in a day's work.
We're very millennial.
We're so millennial. Love our Cascadia hops.
We just brew beer with a high alcohol content and make Harry Potter references day long. Yeah,
that's actually pretty accurate.
You need a V-neck? Check in with Sportsnet 650. We have a lengthy collection of V-neck t-shirts.
Yes.
For men.
A lot of fleeces.
Oh, we our fleece game is on the V.
Mics are worn out though, so they're no longer a V, it's more of a U.
A deep U. Like a deep U.
We often all sit around and bemoan
how old we are.
No, the fact that the fact that plaid is
someone
no longer in style.
Oh, I don't bemoan. I don't care. You're not stopping me, baby.
Actually, you do bemoan.
What I'm bemoaning is that Dan Riccio had exactly $1 more free agent auction budget than me.
Ooh.
And that allowed him to get Garrendo on waivers today.
How much did
that
he go
tough.
For?
$71.
He went $74 in my league.
That was Riccio's entire budget. I had $70. We both bid our entire budget and he got it. That's tough. That's tough stuff right there.
Congratulations to the guy. I'm very pleased that someone who's definitely going to miss the playoffs anyway got Garrendo instead of you.
Got the key guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
well, instead
tough.
Of you especially.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. It's good for you.
Yeah, you're the only guy I'm worried about, even though Dim shellacked me this past week.
Yes. All right.
One code or two?
Two. He won by 60 points. It's a multi-coat shellacking.
All right, it's Wednesday, so we did the crossover in the first segment, which means right now it's time for the whiteboard.
Oh, I thought we were going to talk about fantasy football all day.
I know, you wish.
Yeah.
All right now, fellas, hey, let's focus up.
You got to cut the end of it off there. A little snippet of the words at the end. All right, it is your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, December 4th, starting with the headlines. And man, a lot to get into. Let's start with the most recent newsworthy stuff, which is, as we discussed earlier in the crossover with Donnie and Dolly, you know, an update from Jim Rutherford, or at least commentary from Jim Rutherford on JT Miller and his absence. And a few interesting things here, not least of which is, as we talked about earlier, Jim Rutherford, you know, doing Jim Rutherford things and throwing some elbows to kind of make space for his player here. And I'll read you again. These first bit here is Patrick Johnson's words, who, of course, talked to Jim Rutherford, got him to go on record. It's up at Post Media. Miller is on personal leave looking to get himself right. His return remains to be determined. The focus for the player is to get himself mentally back to where he was. That's all. When he's going to be back, Rutherford doesn't know. The ball is in Miller's court. And then Rutherford goes on to say, don't start making stuff up on someone in his situation. That's disrespectful. People that do this for fun or for a living, just go back to making up trade rumors. No, we are not trading him, Rutherford said flatly. We stand by him. So a little bit of an update, an effort to squash the speculation, and also an effort to squash the notion that JT Miller is on the trade block or that the Canucks are interested in trading him.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it was good to do, given sort of, especially yesterday. I mean, yesterday we finally decided we had to get into it and react to all the out of market. And
yes,
it's important, I think, to distinguish that, like, the media in this market have generally, I think, handled this pretty, I certainly know on our station, have handled this, I think, appropriately with like due caution. That said, you know, there was a lot of national speculation stemming from national podcasts talking about the relationship between Miller and Pettersson, talking about whether or not teams are calling and whether or not the Canucks might make a JT Miller trade, about whether or not the leave was player initiated or team initiated. Yep. So some clarity, the team being like, hey, we're going to stand by this guy, we're not trading him, I think is helpful. Also the clarity that, yeah, this was player initiated from Rutherford, yes. Paraphrased through Johnston, I think matters. Like, I think it's important that we have that out there.
Yeah, I agree, right? Just a little bit more clarity. And I think also, even just saying, you know, when he's going to be back, Rutherford doesn't know, the ball is in Miller's court, because I think part of this is, and we see this with injuries, right? When there's no timeline, like we're seeing with Demko, the questions about availability always start cropping up over and over and over again. And one of the other differences between this Miller situation and what we've seen in the past is, when guys go into the player assistance program, it's kind of assumed automatically this is long term. Like, put them out of your mind. They're not going to feature for a long time, right? So just don't even worry about it. They'll be back when they'll be back. Maybe that's how we all should have reacted to this JT Miller situation in the first place. But you remember, right, when the leave happened, you know, we started to hear, well, maybe when they're back from this road trip, he'll be ready. We don't know yet, but I just think, I do think there's something to Rutherford saying, like, hey, listen, we don't know. Don't expect it imminently. We're reading between the lines there a little bit. And I wonder if, you know, him, the combination of him saying we're not trading him, we don't know when he's going to be back, the ball's in his court, maybe just quiets things down a little bit, right? Because now we're not expecting, like, hey, should we expect to see him before Christmas? Should we expect to see him on this homestand? Rutherford's not saying we shouldn't, but I think it's just slightly more clarity on the timeline, even if it's in an ambiguous sense than we had earlier.
Yeah, and, you know, we needed more, right? That there needed to be some sort of an update, and I think getting it done in this manner helps. I still think Alvin talking and clarifying a variety of issues, you know, the club has an upcoming, I mean, how many in there? At home here?
Six, and then 12? And 9 of 11, I believe.
9 of 11.
Yeah.
Over the holidays, this is like prime social calendar season. There's a lot of, you know, Canucks fans who are going to be going to games. And, you know, we now have clarity on Filip Hronek. He's not going to be on this homestand or the next one. But Thatcher Demko, JT Miller, I think some additional clarity and details would be helpful, because, you know, there's reasons why teams started calling after JT Miller's leave started, right? The fact that he wasn't in the player assistance program, the fact that he's going to be named to Team USA in a couple of hours, right, stands in contrast with the usual leaves that we've seen from Spencer Knight or Shillington or Drouin over the years, right? Like, this situation is unique and distinct, and that's obviously going to drive, you know, some level of curiosity. And sometimes, unfortunately, that's going to manifest itself in, like, unhealthy and unfair speculation, which I think has happened in this case. So I loved Rutherford sort of breaking jaws about it. I think that was well called for, frankly. But I also think that the best way to nip it in the bud, as it were, would be to have at least, you know, while respecting his privacy, and enough that we don't have additional questions, you know? And so, like, this being something team, you know, obviously we all take we're not trading this player with a grain of salt, right? You can find a Rutherford quote about that, about Bo Horvat. But we're standing by this player, right? That just, like, small little details help a lot in terms of just turning the volume down. And I think that matters.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's obviously what Jim Rutherford was hoping to accomplish, going on the record with those comments about JT Miller, who, of course, remains on a leave of absence for personal reasons from the Vancouver Canucks. Okay, the other headlines from yesterday that we're dealing with, that we have on the whiteboard here today. Canucks lose to the Wild 3-2 in overtime to wrap up their six-game road trip. They finish 4-1-1 with 9 points out of a possible 12. And it's interesting because obviously that's undeniably a huge success, and we have been framing it as Operation Hold the Fort. And we said earlier when we were talking about the game, okay, Operation Hold the Fort, you can say that was a successful operation, right? You accomplished the goals that you laid down and that you wanted to get done. But we also think of that. Go back to when Operation Hold the Fort started, right? It was in the wake of the JT Miller news, but Filip Hronek was still in the lineup, right? We thought Thatcher Demko might get back on that road trip. Brock Besser hadn't come back yet, but we sensed that his return was imminent, and it proved to be. Now, Hronek's out of the lineup. I think the timeline on Miller seems maybe a little bit more indefinite than it did a couple of weeks ago. The timeline on Demko is a little murkier than it was maybe a couple of weeks ago even. And so, yeah, I think it's fair to say Operation Hold the Fort was a success, but I don't know if it's over. You know, it's been successful up to this point, but I think they're still very much in Hold the Fort mode, right? Like, it's not like, oh, okay, we're back home now. Now everything's fine. Our circumstances have gotten easier, and now we can really relax. No, they're still shorthanded. They're still, you know, Quinn Hughes missing his defensive partner. All of these things are still at play. So they did it for a six-game stretch on the road. They more than did it, right? 9 points out of 12 on the road is exceptional no matter what the circumstances. That's really, really good. That's how you have a great record in the NHL. But Hold the Fort season, or Hold the Fort Operation 1, a success, but now you got to keep doing it. At least until one of JT Miller or Filip Hronek is back in the lineup, it's still going to be Operation Hold the Fort for this team, or whatever other, you know, catchy nickname you want to come up with.
Yeah,
for
it. Well, and we'll stick with Hold the Fort for now. Fort has been held to some extent, but yeah, there's still more work to do. The Pacific Division remains relatively compressed here, right? There's no one that's really pulled away, but that also means that there's no one that's pulled out of the running either, right? Like, all of these teams are in the same milieu, in the same sort of rough area here. The Canucks haven't gained ground. They haven't put away any teams for the most part. Like, Seattle's still one winning streak away from being, you know, a dark horse comer in the Pacific even. So Anaheim, I'm serious. Anaheim has been playing way better lately, and they're 500 point percentage. You know, that
even by goal differential, best goal differential in the Pacific, Vegas plus 13, worst San Jose minus 17. That's not a big spread for, like, best from best to worst. You know what I mean? And most of the teams, like, LA is at plus 8. The Canucks are at plus 1. Calgary minus 5. Edmonton minus 2. Seattle minus 3. Anaheim minus 7. That's 6 of the 8 teams, like, really close to breaking even just by raw goal differential in the Pacific Division, right? So I think your point is a good one, that the bottom has not been nearly as bad as the Pacific Division as we might have thought, and the top hasn't pulled away either.
No, it honestly, it feels wide open, doesn't it?
And yeah, it does.
And so, you know, and you saw that Vegas game last night after the Canucks game. I don't know if anyone else didn't change the channel and just enjoyed the game at Edmonton versus, like, there was nothing separating those two teams.
Yeah.
You know, by the way, both of them look terrifying. Honestly, like, you do not want to see either of those teams in the first round from a Canucks perspective. And yet that's, you know, pretty likely outcome at this point. So yeah. And certainly you want to be, I think, in a good enough spot that you have a realistic chance of avoiding that happening, right? By getting hot down the stretch with a fully healthy lineup. Right. And sort of giving yourself a shot to win the Pacific again, because the stakes, I think, of avoiding one of Edmonton or Vegas are enormous.
Yeah. And you're going to have to keep having stretches, maybe not 9 out of 12 on the road again, but you're, like, to stay in spitting distance of the top of the division, you're going to have to start, you know, 500 over long stretches isn't going to cut it. They're going to have to find a way to grind out even better segments than that. They did it already, and they're going to have to keep finding ways to doing it now that they're coming back home to Rogers Arena. A couple of other notes from that game last night. Jake DeBrusque scores from the net front again. He remains red hot. Elias Pettersson picks up a couple of more points. I know he was also critical of his play on the two Minnesota goals in regulation time as well, but two more points for Elias Pettersson, who continues to produce at a really high rate. I think he's almost back to a point per game, which, considering how slowly he started, is pretty remarkable. Even Nils Höglander, played 13 minutes last night, 13:21. So that's nothing to write home about necessarily, but that is a far cry. It's almost double from where he was at some of the games earlier on the road trip. So maybe just some light at the end of the of Rick Tocchet's doghouse tunnel for Nils Höglander, just inching those minutes up a little bit, something to monitor as they come back home to Rogers Arena. Also, the Canucks announced yesterday that Filip Hronek had a successful lower body procedure and that he will not require surgery for his upper body injury. As a result, he will be out for approximately 8 weeks, and that's a big blow. That is a major, major blow to the Canucks blue line. As we all know, if they can get more performances like they got last night from Carson Soucy and Noah Juulsen, that will go a long way to helping them manage the absence of Filip Hronek a little bit here. Okay, on to the lineup notes section of the whiteboard. Max Sasson's team, of course, has the day off today as they travel back to Vancouver. They'll practice tomorrow ahead of playing Columbus on Friday. Max Sasson reassigned to the Abbotsford Canucks, which I expect is simply a matter of what we saw with Harshdeep Bains and Atu Ratu earlier in the season, doing the, you know, hey, you're waiver exempt, so we can send you down, we can clear some salary off the books, we can toll a little bit of extra cap space, and then we'll call you back up. Because I think generally, I mean, there's been a lot to like from Max Sasson in his first taste of NHL action.
Especially the speed.
Yeah.
Right? The speed played at times last night. I think you're seeing some limitations, too. I think he remains I think he can play games for you as a fourth liner, and, yep, and you're totally fine with that. And that's a big step for him to take. Now, the next step is a really steep one, right? The step from being a American League player who can give you quality NHL minutes to being an NHL player.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's the step that I think he's still got a little bit of miles to run here. But
would you say that Atu Ratu has taken that step?
I don't think so, but he's really close.
Yeah.
He's really close. So he played 14 of the last 15 games.
Yes.
So that's basically regular status. You know, as good as Pugh Suter has been in relief of Miller here, I struggle with the idea that Vancouver's optimal top nine doesn't include him on the wing. Like, I still struggle with that.
Oh, I think it does.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I think when they're fully healthy, you put him back up with Miller and Besser.
Because I think his against the grain finish and just like his overall play driving and defensive reliability, I just think helps whoever of Pettersson or Miller or whichever skilled players he plays with. I think he helps them a lot.
Yeah.
So, I think there is a space for Ratu. The work in the faceoff circle remains strong, although he hasn't been 50% or more across the club's last seven games, which I think that, to me, if he was at like 53, so he's at 55% across his last 14 games, his second call-up. Okay, that's really good.
Yeah.
But he's at something like 45%, 44% in the seven games since Miller had been absent. If he was at 55%, without Miller, I'd be like, he's there. He's there. He's
carved out a role, right? Like, that's a role.
That's a role. And so he can get there. It might just be small sample noise. We're only talking about like 60 draws, yeah, right? So, that, I mean, you win two or three more and you're where
your
I'm talking
winger
about.
Comes in and steals a couple of them for you, and all of a sudden it looks a lot different.
But you need it for when your coach comes in the morning and has pre-scouted the other team, you know, and is like, oh man, Monahan, how are we going to win draws against Monahan tomorrow? Like, what are we going to do here? Who can I put out? What are my options? I lost sleep over it last night. I'm so stressed out. Seriously, this is how coaches operate. And then they look at their lineup and they're like, you know what? Ratu, 57% the last 10. Like, that's the next. It's such a small thing, but I do think that matters for him. He's real close. I think he's the closest of that class of prospect, though, of that, like,
oh, for
Sasson,
sure. Bains, Ratu. Yeah.
He's right there. He's right there knocking on the door. Pretty solid underlying results. Brutally unlucky, though, over his most recent stretch of games. Clubs only finishing at 5% in terms of their on-ice shooting percentage with him on the ice, 5-on-5, and .880 goaltending. Oof. With him on the ice. So he's been outscored 5-on-5 over this second call-up. And yet, you know, I don't think that actually reflects on him at all. I just think he's had some tough bounces. A couple of those go his way. He probably has like 5 points, four or five points, and is coming out even because that's sort of what his underlying profile has earned. So yeah, I mean, you put all that together, and I think you're there.
That's a legit, no doubt.
You've got an NHL fourth line center.
Yep. Yeah, right there. All right, we'll wrap up the whiteboard here with just a quick look at the playoffs and standings update, courtesy of Dom's model up at The Athletic. And you know, as we've been talking about, look, the Canucks still grade out very well in the model with a 96% chance to make the playoffs. They're projected to finish with 104 points at the end of the season. The Oilers are right there at 106 points. The Golden Knights just behind the Canucks at 101 points in the model. So very, very tight. Lots to play for at the top of the Pacific Division.
Dom loves his Canucks. No one was more outraged than he was about the missed tripping call in overtime, which is how you know that he had
money on the game. You
Dom
mean?
Lecision, yeah. Which is how you know that he had money on the game, yeah. the gambling odds... I just want to do an update on the Norris here. Okay. Also the Hart.
Sure.
So the two quick updates here. First of all, remember when I called out Macklin Celebrini at 7-1?
Yep.
He's now the favorite to win the Calder. So I hope you
even money basically, isn't he? I think I saw.
Hope you tailed that one. Kirill Kaprizov, fresh off of that 105 second overtime shift. That was crazy, by the way. I know everyone was still mad about the missed tripping call, but like, Sometimes you're watching these NHL games and these athletes do insane stuff. 105 second shift and then to still have the gas left to make that shot in overtime, incredible. Anyway, off the strength of that performance, he's up to plus 220 to win the Hart. He was plus 250 going into the game. So that highlight helped him out.
Yeah.
Helped him strengthen that position. And then, man, Cale Makar minus 320. To win the Norris, Quinn Hughes 4-1. Everyone else is 14-1 or longer odds, to the point where you can buy Cale Makar minus 320 to win the Norris versus the field at plus 235.
Wow.
What are we doing here? Quinn Hughes has been better.
Yeah, that's a wild one.
He's been better. Minus 400 for the second best defenseman in the league? What are we talking about? Get it together, man.
All right, we'll wrap it up there. Oh, I don't know if you even know this. Did you know I'm working the morning show?
I found out when A-Dog booked me for the morning show tomorrow, and then he was like, yeah, you'll be on with Dodd. And I was like, oh, great. I love when people tell me that I'm not doing the show.
So anyways, I will be back on this show Wednesday.
And then he apologized to me. He was like, I'm sorry. I'm like, dude, it's not your fault.
Not your fault. But I'll get to talk to you tomorrow. Well, that's exciting.
Sucks for you.
I'll be back on this show on Wednesday. I'm on the morning show tomorrow, Friday, Monday, Tuesday. Have a great day.
It's a long time.
Keep it right here on Sportsnet 650.
Miss you, bud.